Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Our House and the BFT Fantasy Football Show, brought to you by ScoutFantasy.com. I'm your host, as always, Joe Jefferson, and as always, my co-host, Dave Terpoli, affectionately named as Dave Terp in these parts. We appreciate you listening live, as well as downloading later, wherever you may be. We got a great show coming up for you for the next hour here. Hard to believe, NFL Week 13 in the books, so we've got tons to talk about. Obviously, most leagues are in playoff mode. These games starting to really count to win your league, so really exciting time to be back with you guys. For those who haven't, don't forget to get on over to ScoutFantasy.com. Of course, BFD has joined Scout Fantasy this year, and if you use our promo code BFD16 at checkout on your 12-month or $12 price point, you'll get 3 free months. So that's 1 month for $12 and then another 3 using our promo code BFD16 over at the site. Let's get into the show. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. It's good to be back. A couple week hiatus.
No doubt. Kind of weird. We had some odd things happen, but we are back and excited to be with everybody. You know, I figure we'll get into some injury news and notes, talk about some free agents. Probably spend a little bit more time talking tonight about previews and what we're seeing for next week. And then, of course, obviously some daily talk. I think we'll have plenty of time for that in tonight's show. what did you think as far as week 13 in the books? How are you looking? You get some teams into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, a couple good spots where I got some teams that, you know, could do some damage come playoff time. Nothing really, really big. I mean, the last 2 weeks haven't been too great to me. But, you know, I got a lot of spots where, you know, I got some good teams that are pretty deep, ready to make a run and hopefully win a lot of money.
All right, exciting. We're going to help you do that. Let's get into some, let's see, injury news and notes for this week. Capri Bibbs with the ankle here in Denver, IR. Of course, he was starting to look really good. Honestly, you know, better than probably the Broncos starter right now, Devonta Booker. Of course, they come in and sign Justin Forsett off waivers from Detroit. You think there's any upside to picking up Forsett here?
I mean, I think he's a pickup guy. I mean, I don't really see either of them being guys that you're going to really count on down the stretch. I mean, we really thought this was going to be a run-first team at the beginning of the season, you know, with the uncertainty at the quarterback position, and the running backs have been really, really suspect so far. I mean, just not what they expected. You know, obviously this is a, you know, pretty run dominated team last year, but it's just been a really big disappointment. Booker's just not, his yard per carry is embarrassing right now. So Forsett's definitely got to add. I wouldn't get too crazy with him though.
Let's see, RG3 strongly being considered for a return to the starting lineup against Cincinnati. Think that happens?
I mean, he's probably going to start, but I don't really see the upside in the guy. I mean, I don't see how he helps, you know, guys like Terrell Pryor, guys like, you know, Corey Coleman. He's a guy I'm not adding at all. He's not a guy I'm starting at all. It's pretty much a 4 week audition, maybe for the rest of his NFL starting career. This might be his last chance. So, yeah, you wish him the best, but I don't expect anything good from him. I hope they get a win, though. I don't want to see him go in 16.
yeah, and they've definitely got a chance to do that. But, you know, I don't know. RG surprised before, you know, wouldn't be a terrible add or play on ridiculous, you know, low play percentage, or if you're in a super deep league. Let's see. What do you make of Tyrod Taylor coming off of several shaky performances?
I mean, he just doesn't have many weapons outside of McCoy. I mean, Sammy Watkins is pretty much running on one leg. And outside of that, they got nothing. They got no tight end. They got no second receiver with Robert Woods being out. I mean, they can only expect so much out of him. I mean, that game is not Tyrod Taylor's fault. Where was the Bills' defense? I mean, he put them in position to get a lead, and they just pretty much blew it. So let's just call it what it is. Rex Ryan, he's a fine at defense. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he is what he is, but I don't think he's going to get a big contract in the offseason. You wouldn't think.
Yeah, still has the confidence of the coach based on Rex's comments. So, you know, I agree. Great commentary there. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat here. You know, Percy Harvin also put on the IR, I believe, right?
Failed experiment there. I mean, they took a shot and it didn't work out. Nobody really thought it was going to work out, but they clearly show that they have no confidence in their other receivers. So they took a shot and it failed.
And, you know, Sammy Watkins, you know, struggling through a broken foot. Any upside, you think, down the stretch?
I see no upside whatsoever in him. I mean, what's his ceiling? I mean, you saw in a game they were behind, and he did okay, but it's not like that team's ever going to be a down-the-field type of player. And if he doesn't have that, you know, early in his career that we saw, that jolt, that, you know, speed, that deep speed, which he clearly doesn't right now, I mean, how good is he really? I'm not starting him.
Any hope for Robert Woods down the stretch?
If he gets back on the field, I think he has more hope than Sammy Watkins personally. But, I mean, that offense is a run-dominated offense. You saw LeSean McCoy is dominating right now. You know, they're just not throwing the ball a ton, and they got to be behind to really make a really fancy impact. I mean, Robert Woods is a bench player right now. Hopefully he comes back and maybe makes an impact, but I'm not banking on it.
Jacksonville Jaguars running back positions also really banged up. Chris Rivery with a hammy, you know, uncertain whether he'll be back this week. Yeldon in line to see a little more time, I think, because Denard Robinson also dealing with an ankle sprain. So any hope there at all in Jacksonville?
I said this all year. That running back position is one to just stay away. I mean – that team is just one right now to stay away. If your name's not Allen Robinson, which, I mean, clearly is the only true talent they have on that offensive side of the ball, I mean, I don't know how you use anybody. Blake Bortles stinks. That line stinks. They're not running the ball. Julius Thomas is hurt. Allen Hurts is hurt. I mean, that team is a disaster right now, which is shocking to me because I, along with a lot of other people, thought they were going to be maybe not a playoff team, but maybe right on the brink this year. And that team stinks. I mean, they might be one of the worst in the football right now.
Yeah, it's amazing to see their offense digress so much. You know, Blake Bortles obviously taking a step backwards. You know, and from a fantasy perspective, you really hung on until later in the year. You know, I think kind of kept some of my fantasy teams from looking for another starter earlier in the year, which kind of hurt. Moving on to Kansas City, obviously he's playing on Thursday. Big game for the AFC West and against the Oakland Raiders. Jeremy Maclin, you know, working his way back in, should be expected to return in this game. You expect to see him kind of take over as the number one there? Or what do you think about
I think there's going to be more Travis Kelce dominated. I mean, we said this numerous times. Kansas City Chiefs, no matter what anybody tells me, are never going to be a high-scoring offense. They're just not. So you got Tyreek Hill emerging, who's had a really solid, you know, last couple weeks. Travis Kelce starting to get back on the map. Spencer Ware. I mean, Maclin, I think, will be brought in, but, I mean, I'm not starting him. Even in a matchup that, especially Thursday night football, we know what them debacles usually look like. I mean, I think I've counted one or two games this week where they've actually been fantasy performers. So If I'm Jeremy Maclin owner, I'm sitting him until maybe the rest of the season. He's just not somebody that I think you can count on the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's, you know, from a fantasy perspective, almost mucks you up if you picked up, drafted Kelsey or picked up a wide receiver. Moving on to, New England. Malcolm Mitchell is a guy we haven't chatted a lot about on the show. Looks to be a regular part of the offense now with Rob Gronkowski, of course, with the season ending, back injury requiring surgery, putting him on the IR. Danny Amendola, got the ankle injury. It's really Edelman, Hogan, Mitchell. My boy Martellus Bennett's not doing much. So, it's really Malcolm Mitchell has some opportunity, don't you think?
I picked him up in a lot of spots, and, last week he had a solid game, a lot of targets. I think he's, right behind Edelman right now on the target list. I mean, clearly Tom Brady trusts him, and that's a lot coming from, a quarterback who rarely trusts anybody. So I expect him to continue to emerge and be right there with Edelman and targets and for the rest of the fantasy season. He's a guy that could win people a lot of money if you picked him up. I really think he could be one of those guys down the stretch because we all know that Tom Brady's going to throw the ball, and they got a couple good matchups coming up, and they're right in the middle of, a chance at home field advantage. So he's not going away.
Moving on to the Jets.
What a disaster. What a disaster.
I know. Who are looking hapless, but looking like they're going to stick with, Bryce Petty. Not good news for them, I don't think, or a fantasy perspective, but, Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa.
Unless you're Robbie Anderson, because I watched the whole game last night, and Robbie Anderson, he might have got 27 targets. I swear that Bryce Petty, when he came in the game, threw the ball to Robbie Anderson every single time. And I'm not kidding. If you watch the tape, he might have got 20-plus targets in that game. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I'll have to take a look maybe later in the show. I can give you an update on how many targets he got. But, yeah, it was definitely a ton. I don't know about 20, but, they did cut C.J. Spiller. Obviously, they don't need him. They got Forte and Powell. D'Angelo Williams looked like he's finally ready, come back. In Pittsburgh, also looks like they'll get their kicker back. I don't know if you're streaming kickers at this point any longer, but he might be back in action. Let's see. Julio Jones battling a little bit of turf toe. Dan Quinn's telling folks. Mohamed Sanu also, got his groin injury. Might not be able to practice till later in the week at best. What do you think about Atlanta after that showing?
I mean, a game they should have won. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not seeing much from, Kansas City. They won the game. They're the hot team right now. Everybody's hyping them up. But I just don't see a really exciting team that can win that Super Bowl. Atlanta, they just keep sputtering down the stretch. It's the same thing every year with them. Julio Jones banged up, and without Julio Jones, it's totally different offense. I mean, Taylor Gabriel has been a big addition and has been emerging lately, but, I mean, can you really count on him? I don't know. I just don't like what I see from Atlanta right now at all.
Another disappointing situation with the Carolina Panthers. Kelvin Benjamin in the news this week, Ron Rivera, talking about the possibility of rushing him back a little bit too early from the ACL. Of course, he's got a shoulder injury now. Any hope for him down the stretch, or he's just too banged up at this point?
I think he's too banged up. I own him in a lot of spots, and I'm sitting him for guys like Pierre Garçon this week, Malcolm Mitchell, guys we mentioned. I mean, I just think they're just better overall options that, could bring, a lot more of a potential ceiling to your fantasy teams. I mean, I like their matchup this week against the Chargers. I really do, but, I mean, I just think Greg Olsen's more of a safer pick, and Ted Ginn has been outstanding lately. So they're guys I trust more right now.
Yeah, you play Ted Ginn over Benjamin at this point.
I never thought I would ever say that, but yes, I would.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on. Let's see, moving on. I don't know why I'm just doing this team by team. I've never done it this way before, but I think it's interesting. What about Chicago? Marquez Wilson expected to have a big game, of course, you know, tweaks his groin in the first quarter and puts up a big goose egg. Any hope there for fantasy production in Chicago besides
it's one thing the fantasy owners probably ignore more than anything. Weather is extremely important to pay attention to. I mean, that game was a snowstorm the whole game. I mean, most people, if they would have known that, would have taken everybody out of that game outside of running backs, and you probably should have. So it's definitely something you always got to pay attention to. Most people just put their lineups in, whatever, and they're done. You should have never started Colin Kaepernick in that weather because you saw what happened. Cameron Meredith is probably the best guy I would look at. Outside of that, I mean, they could be spreading the ball around all week. I mean, they're going to be behind, which we know. They're just not a good football team. They got a tough matchup against the Detroit Lions team who's fighting for maybe a first-round bye. So I wouldn't get too crazy with, you know, receivers, but if I had to pick one, Meredith would be my guy.
Moving on to the Lions, Detroit. Joique Bell re-signed with them. You know, looking for a little power back help there with their Dwayne Washington hurting and Zach Zenner kind of the only other possibility. You think Joique Bell heads into that goal line yardage work right away?
I mean, it's possible, but we all know that they like to throw the ball around the goal line. I think if anything, this helps Theo Riddick get some more carries. I don't see Joique Bell making any sort of impact at all.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at too, but it's possible, something to keep your eye on there. Because in Green Bay, you know, you saw what happened there. My boy James Starks gets only 7 snaps, and Christine Michael kind of takes over the show back with Montgomery. What do you make of that Green Bay Packers backfield?
I mean, there is none right now. I mean, I guess Christine Michael is going to be the guy. I don't understand why they gave up on Starks. He hasn't been bad. They just are not a running football team right now. It's Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball all around the field, first down, second down, third down, goal line. No matter where they're at, they're a throwing team. I'm not trusting anybody down the stretch. You got a lot of money on the line. I mean, those guys that we just mentioned are not guys I'm banking on. I would take shots over a ton of different other players over there.
No doubt. Dixon, I mean,
guys like that, I would take shots on over him.
Yeah, no doubt. At this point, it does look like they're moving on from James Starks. You know, Christine Michael and Ty Montgomery should be sharing this backfield, I would think, moving forward. Let's see here. What about Philadelphia? You know, both the Matthews brothers, if you will, Ryan and Jordan at running back and receiver, expected to return this week, right?
I could talk for probably 2 shows about the garbage that I witnessed on Sunday against Cincinnati. That team stinks right now. It seems like they gave up on their coach. No effort whatsoever. I'll try to get off my soapbox with them. I mean, right now from the offensive side of the ball, you're not using anybody that's not named Zach Ertz. I mean, Sproles is kind of getting phased out a little bit. Smallwood's not getting the carries. Ryan Matthews is supposed to be back. Will he be back? Who knows? Jordan Matthews, you don't know. Green Beckham, I mean, there's nothing to be really – the 3-0 team is a complete disaster in Philadelphia right now. It's scary to, you know, even say what a disaster this town is right now with a 3-0 team that's currently 5-7. It's hard to even talk about.
Yeah, you don't like Jordan Matthews as a receiver 3 kind of type if he plays?
I mean, he's worth it because they're going to be behind. The defense isn't playing well, so I continue to, you know, I guess use him. But upside-wise, Malcolm Mitchell, we mentioned, even a guy like Cameron Meredith might have upside more than Jordan Matthews right now. That's scary to even say.
Hmm. In New Orleans, tight end Josh Hill looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season with a broken fibula. Colby Fleener flashes a little bit, I guess, in this Detroit game, 5 catches, 86 yards. You think he might have a bigger role moving forward with Hill out for the year?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a bigger role, but, I mean, I still think this is a receiver-dominated team. Unless you're Brandon Cooks, because if you're Brandon Cooks, you just find a way to, outside of last week's garbage catches, I mean, He's a guy that I'll never own in fantasy football again. Ever. Never. Unless he gets traded, I want nothing to do with the guy.
Yeah, he has been.
It's really hard not get stung when you put up 49 points and the guy does not get one target in the whole game against the Rams 2 weeks ago. I'm still shocked by it. It makes me confused.
Really was unbelievable. They do look to be looking more towards Thomas and, you know, eating into his role. So he is really kind of really hit or miss at this point. Kind of shocking to say. San Francisco, you know, we talked a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. Looks like he's going to, you know, get another start here. Is he startable?
I mean, he's startable. I mean, I guess you can say that. They play the Jets. Jets have quit. 49ers are at least playing a little bit hard, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know really what you can depend on with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, the coaches, he went from being a hero that people are said, oh, he's going to opt out of his contract. He's going to get all his big money in the offseason after a couple good weeks to – now just being an average player, I mean it was snowing, so, but he looked awful, and they really didn't give him any chances to throw the ball. So I think he's startable just because of his running ability at home. No snow, no cold weather. I would use him, but, I mean, he's just an upside play based on his running ability.
How about those Seahawks? Thomas Rawls looks fully healthy. They do sign Marcel Reese, a guy, a veteran I've always respected, you know, some potential insurance there. You think Thomas Rawls could have some big games down the stretch?
Thomas Rawls could be a guy that's going to win people a lot of money. If you held him on your bench or you picked him up late off waivers, I mean, he looked strong. He ran the ball well, and there's nobody behind him. It's Thomas Rawls, and it's going to be his job unless he gets hurt. So he's definitely a guy that watched it. Like we mentioned Malcolm Mitchell, Thomas Rawls is another guy that if you stay patient with him in deep leagues, he could reward you with a lot of money.
Let's see. Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back by committee situation getting murkier. You know, at some point, Charles Sims could be activated. Doug Martin, you know, sat out a lot in the late in the game, but still looks to be fine. Chukwuma Rogers, you know, looking fairly solid late. Anybody there worth considering moving forward?
I say no. I mean, I always live by the motto recently, obviously, if you're not a big time running back, I would never give money to guys who aren't clear cut, like dominant backs. You look at guys like, you know, CJ Anderson, Doug Martin. Yeah, they had good season and they got paid, but are they really worth the money they got paid? Can you not find somebody who's, you know, serviceable to run the ball? I mean, you saw what Jaquizz Rodgers did when Martin was out. He was serviceable until he got hurt. I mean, Denver's been a little bit different, but how many running backs in the league right now are you know, it's been a running back dominated league, but most of these guys are draft picks and, you know, low end guys. So it's really, really, really questionable. And I'm not dependent on Doug Martin the rest of the season at all.
Yeah, really tough too. I agree. What about the Redskins? What's going on in Washington?
I mean, you would think Rob Kelly, he had a really solid start, and they just don't give him the ball enough. They're just turned into a throw-first, all-over-the-field type of team, and they got another great matchup against a terrible Eagles secondary this week. So I don't see how Rob Kelly gets, you know, outside of garbage work if it turns into a blowout, where he gets his time at. So it's very, very questionable right now what they're going to do with him. I still think he's startable. I still think I would use him this week. But Crowder, I expect Deshaun Jackson to put on a show this week back in Philly, so it's definitely something to watch. Crowder, Garcon, Vernon Davis, if Jordan Reed probably doesn't play. It's Kirk Cousins to be one of the number one guys in daily fantasy football this week because he's a cheap quarterback. And pairing him with these guys, they're all cheap. You can use the running backs that are been killing this year.
You know, some other kind of, you know, upgrades, downgrades, if you will. We got a few minutes, I think, before we need to head into some head-to-head matchups. You know, Jameis Winston looking pretty solid, even with Evans not really delivering a lot. Kind of interesting. What do you think of that?
I mean, it was 1 week. I mean, Jameis Winston's been playing great football lately. I expect him to just continue to solid, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's finding a way to win games. It's not pretty all the time, but, you know, they're making plays. You know, realistically, Cameron Brate has been one of the breakout guys this year, and he's been way, way under the radar. So I hope that will continue. I like Tampa Bay. Winston, sometimes he just makes that big mistake that just costs, you know, the team the game, and hopefully that doesn't continue and they find a way to sneak in the playoffs. Mike Evans is a beast. I don't worry about him at all.
Joe Flacco, another quarterback, good option down the stretch, I suppose, if you're looking at some free agent options. Colin Kaepernick, I suppose, you know, if he's still out there. We talked about RG3. Any other quarterbacks you would consider to pick up down the stretch here?
I mean, not anybody that's like crazy that I would say has been like a guy that Colin Kaepernick, we mentioned, if he's available, is a guy. Bryce Petty is not somebody I'd pick up, but he's a guy that's going to be throwing the ball a ton. So, you know, I guess you could do worse if you want to get cute. Jameis Winston's probably not available. He had a great matchup against the Saints this week. Outside of that, most people that are playing now have secure quarterbacks. So you're going with what you got right now. Don't try to get cute at the end of the season, because the last thing you want to do is starting a guy like, you know, Colin Kaepernick when you have an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees on the bench and losing sleep and losing a lot of money because you try to get cute.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to running backs, is there some guys to pick up? Jerick McKinnon's a guy who might have been dropped in some leagues who has a good showing. You expect that to continue in Minnesota?
I do. I mean, he's the guy, and there's really nobody else. I mean, Matt Asiata will be the goal line guy, but I don't see him doing much else. It's hopefully McKinnon stays healthy, because he's definitely a good option in a PPR, you know, flex type of player if you're desperate.
Talked about Justin Forsett as an ad, potentially. Charles Sims, perhaps, if he's getting back later. Rex Burkhead, you know, surprisingly solid, getting a surprising amount of snaps to me. A guy maybe worth adding. Not a ton of running backs, like, you know, too sexy at this point. Christine Michael, he's out there. Anybody else at running back you want to give a shout out to?
Not anybody. Alfred Morris, maybe he's available. They keep saying they're not going to reduce Ezekiel Elliott's workload. I think they're going to. I mean, they almost have to. I mean, I know this could be a DeMarco Murray 2.0, but I would expect them to, you know, a little bit at least lower his workload. Alfred Morris is the better option down the stretch, and, you know, maybe a championship game that he'd be playing in.
Moving on to some receivers, we really talked about the guys already who would be ads, you know, Malcolm Mitchell, Pierre Garçon, Dontrell Inman, Brandon LaFell, Taylor Gabriel, the guy who might be worth adding. What do you think about that?
He's definitely a guy that has definitely been playing really well lately. Definitely a guy that, if he's available, he should be picked up. Tyler Lockett's another name who emerged, you know, and looks to be healthy. Getting his speed back in that offense. Russell Wilson loves to take shots, and Lockett is definitely their deep threat. So he's definitely another guy you want to look at.
We talked about Cameron Meredith. Adam Thielen's a guy who might not be available in deeper leagues, but, you know, in shallower leagues might still be available. Guy's been surprisingly solid. Marquez Lee's a guy I've talked about plenty of times on this show. Anquan Boldin, you know, I've talked about plenty of times on the show, you know, solid end of the bench kind of guy. Anybody else a receiver you want to give a shout out to there?
Not anybody that, you know, won't be on fantasy teams right now. Most of the guys we mentioned, you know, we mentioned Malcolm Mitchell, guys like that, should all be on teams.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery, we talked about earlier, should be on teams as well now. Looks like he's back to being part of the rotation. At tight end, Ladarius Green's probably the guy who broke out. Do you expect that to continue?
I do. I mean, he's probably the number three option right now behind Bell and Brown, obviously. If he's available, he's a starting tight end right now, and they do have a lot of good matchups coming up against, you know, defenses that have been suspect lately. So if he's available, he's definitely one of the top, if not the top pickup right now on waivers. Definitely a guy that I would look at going forward.
Dennis Pitta, another guy to add, kind of coming back from
coming
the dead.
Coming back, he was pretty much dead. They had to revive him. Draws a life
coming
on the guy.
Back from the dead. you expect that to continue?
I mean, I don't know how. I saw a couple of guys who started him last week. I'm trying to figure out, what did I miss something? Did I miss Dennis Pitta was a breakout guy last week? I mean, he didn't do nothing all season. I mean, a couple of 4 or 5 catch games, but he really didn't do anything that warranted it starting in major spots. And they all got rewarded. And I'm just sitting here going, well, maybe I'm the idiot. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I expect him to be consistent, the rest of the season, but I don't know how you start him with confidence unless you're desperate tight end.
Yeah, I suppose now moving forward, but I agree with you last week. I mean, you really had to think there was going to be a lot of checkdowns against the Dolphins. But, I agree. Almost more luck than skill there, perhaps. But, hey, man, rather be lucky than good sometimes. And I'm sure they'll tell you they saw it coming. Vernon Davis, another guy, worth adding. Anybody else at tight end? Fedorowicz, if he's available. Anybody else?
Not really. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now. There's nobody. Jermaine Gresham's, a little bit of a factor, I guess, but not really. Not anybody I'm crazy about.
All right, let's move on to some game previews here. Who do we got on Thursday night? Oh, it's the AFC West, baby.
Game of the week. I mean, two teams that are fighting for, home field advantage, buys in the playoffs, division championships. I mean, you can't ask for a better Thursday night game. I just wish it wasn't on Thursday because I hate Thursday night games. And I know most people do too because most of the time they're clunkers. So, I mean, you're in the championship, you're in the, playoffs, you're in, the big money contest. Let's just call it what it is. You're going to be using the guys that got you there. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray, all guys that are 100% stars. Michael Crabtree, Spencer Ware you're using in this matchup. Tyreek Hill I'm using, Travis Kelce I'm using. I'm not using Alex Smith ever in fantasy football ever. And Jeremy Maclin, I need a week to see if he's 100% before I'm using him in this matchup.
Yes, sir, man. You got to pretty much play most of your starters there in that game. Let's see, Steelers at Bills kicking off Sunday.
Another game where, I play Big Ben in a lot of big spots, and I'm really worried about this matchup. The only thing I can think I got in my favor is it's in Buffalo. Usually Buffalo plays a little bit better at home, but, man, a blitz-first team who leaves their corners on island against Antonio Brown and Big Ben, who likes to take shots, scares me. Big Ben is definitely one of the top quarterbacks of this week. Antonio Brown is in line for a monster matchup. Le'Veon Bell, we don't want to talk about him. With Darius Green, I'm using this matchup. I'm not using any of the receivers, Eli Rogers, Coach, none of those guys that really excite me. LeSean McCoy, obviously, is a must start. Outside of that, I mean, I don't see how to use any other player. Tyrod Taylor might be in a good bounce-back spot, but I don't love him. Outside of that, I pretty much mentioned everybody I would use here.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with you there. Denver Broncos at Tennessee Titans.
I mean, we'll see if Trevor Siemian's back this week. If he's not, I mean, you got to consider sitting a player like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Their ceilings is not high enough in games you got to win a lot of money. Paxton Lynch looks suspect at best. Titans are fighting for a lot. They're tied for the division championship right now. So, I mean, they're definitely in a spot to, win and possibly win a division for, a young player. So we'll see what happens. Denver really hasn't really come out and said if Simeon's going to play or not. I expect him to sit, so I expect this to be a more of a running game. Devonta Booker is in a good matchup here just because Justin Forsett just got signed. I know he's familiar with the offense, but what can you really expect? Tennessee, you're using Delanie Walker even against not a great matchup. Marcus Mariota, I mean, if he's your only quarterback you're using, but I don't love him in this matchup. Denver is still playing for a lot, too. They're still playing for a playoff berth. And that defense is still fierce. And they're not really one I would pick on with a tight end spot. Receivers, find another option. Rishard Matthews has been solid lately, but he's not a guy I'm going to bank a playoff, potential championship berth on. DeMarco Murray, obviously, you're using him. It's not even a question.
Not even a question. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a – I do expect Siemian to come back and play. I think regardless, you got to play Thomas and Sanders, but maybe that's just the hometown in me. I think both of them are capable of putting up decently big games. I suppose if you're sitting him, you better have some pretty solid options, I guess, in my mind.
If Simeon's playing, you're using them both. But if Simeon's not playing, I mean, this secondary, Tennessee secondary sucks. But Paxton Lynch has not shown me anything in two starts so far that he can get them the ball consistently, even against a bad secondary. And I think this could be a more of a defensive battle if Lynch plays. If Simeon plays, you're using Thomas, you're using Sanders with confidence. This could be a great matchup for them.
No, and I don't disagree that it's way more confident with Trevor Siemian playing, but even without him, I feel like it's tough to go. But again, and you know, I do expect the Broncos defense to dominate this game. It's, you know, tough not to like DeMarco Murray, but you know, I guess you got to roll with him. But you know, otherwise at Tennessee, I'm not crazy about it. Delanie Walker, I kind of feel the same way. You probably got to roll with him, but otherwise, I would try to avoid the Titans. Redskins at Eagles.
Ugly, ugly matchup for the Eagles. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what Vegas is doing. You know, putting this line at a pick is very worrisome to me. The over-under, 46.5. The Redskins should put a lot of points on the Eagles. Eagles look like a team that just doesn't want to play right now. Secondary's in shambles. They're not getting any pass rush. Garcon playing them. Jackson playing them. Crowder playing them. Rob Kelly playing them. Vernon Davis. I like him in this matchup. Don't love him. Kirk Cousins might be the number one quarterback of the week. Eagles, I mean, we talked about different players that I would use. None I'm really overly crazy about in this matchup. Zach Ertz, you're going to play him. But other than that, Jordan Matthews, if he's back, he's going to have to show me something. Even in a matchup where they could be behind throwing, outside of that, I don't see any Eagles that you're using with confidence in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you got to play Jordan Matthews. Are the Eagles' defense a mirage going down the fantasy stretch? I mean, is that just not even an option for you?
I don't see how you use them. They're not getting any pass rush. They're not, you know, secondary is getting in shambles right now. The corners stink. I'm not using any of them with confidence.
Yeah, they were so good early on. Still got them on some rosters. Arizona Cardinals at Miami Dolphins.
Another game that could be underrated from a fantasy perspective. You saw what Joe Flacco did against Miami secondary. They're just not that good. Let's just say it what it is. I mean, they've won six in a row, lost last week, but they're just not a good secondary. Their defense is very overrated. Carson Palmer, you know, had an okay game last week. Not a great game, but this is a David Johnson show. I mean, David Johnson's an absolute beast right now. Best player in fantasy football, in my opinion. Number one running back pretty much in every format. The guy's just running at an incredible pace this year. You know, over 1,000 yards already, 11 touchdowns, and we didn't even get to his catches yet. So I'm using him, Fitzgerald. Michael Floyd's been coming back to earth. Not really too excited about him. Not using him with confidence. I do like Carson Palmer. Fitzgerald is a possible stack, you know, on DraftKings or FanDuel. Miami-wise, Arizona secondary, they're better, but they're still banged up, you know, and I don't really love them in this spot. I'm not using Tannehill, but Jarvis Landry's a guy you're going to use. Jay Ajayi's kind of come back to earth a little bit. Don't like him in this matchup. So, I mean, I like Arizona guys. Miami, not really crazy about many.
J.J. Nelson, or is that too much of a reach?
If he didn't catch that touchdown last week, he did nothing. To me, it's just a big reach.
Yeah, I generally agree. Let's see. Minnesota Vikings at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville stinks right now. Minnesota stinks right now. I mean, this game could be one of the ugliest of the week. I don't expect anybody in this game outside of maybe Stephon Diggs. I don't love him against the rookie Ramsey. He's been playing actually good football lately. So, you know, I don't love this matchup. This game could be like a 16-10 snooze fest. I'm not recommending anybody in this game with confidence, and that includes Allen Robinson, Kyle Rudolph, McKinnon. Nobody in this game I'm excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I do think McKinnon and Allen are definitely guys that people are going to have to consider this week for sure, who I think could be borderline starters. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. You know, this isn't the fantasy fest, it doesn't look like, but you know, I think those are some guys you might have to count on this week, and it wouldn't be terrible. I guess Alan Hearns probably wouldn't be back. Marquez Lee, maybe. I don't know. I mean, like you said, you're not too excited. And even I would get not too excited about, you know, anybody besides Alan, McKinnon. I've got
there's nothing that really will get me really excited to say, and I'm going to go out on a limb and recommend them because I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Houston Texans at Indianapolis Colts.
Another game is really, really important from an NFL perspective. Both teams tied for the division. Both teams just fighting for everything. DeAndre Hopkins, we finally had a sighting last week at a, you know, touchdown in the snow. So that was exciting, but I wouldn't expect anything crazy. I mean, the Colts secondary is very suspect. Andrew Luck should, you know, be in another, you know, A-plus matchup. He looked very solid against the Jets. Team has pretty much quit. Texans defense is better. Hopefully they get Jadeveon Clowney back. I'm playing Hopkins here. Lamar Miller, if he's back healthy, I'm using him. He should have a bounce back game here. Not crazy about him, but you got to use him. Frank Gore, I like in this matchup. Dante Moncrief could be an underrated name in this matchup. Don't buy into the Dwayne Allen hype this week. I'm telling you, everybody's going to be like three touchdowns. Could have had four Monday night. They're going to buy into him everywhere this week. I'm strongly selling Dwayne Allen. Don't get too excited about the guy. He's not that good of a player.
Yeah, I'm also not that sold on Allen. What do you think about Will Fuller, though, for the Texans? Maybe their number one, you know, receiver. What do you think?
It's a good spot for him. I mean, in a dome in Indianapolis, you know, very nice, solid potential for him. I like it. I don't love it. Again, Brock Osweiler has been dreadful. I don't know if you really can depend on him right now.
And, of course, you love T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton's an automatic start. That guy, I love him. I just wish he scored more touchdowns.
Yeah, should have another field day here. San Diego Chargers at Carolina Panthers.
Another game from a fantasy perspective that might be overlooked. Most people might look at these two teams and they might say, eh, they really don't got much to play for. They're not really going to be excited. I really like this matchup this week. Cam Newton, I think he's in a bounce-back spot. You know, coming off that controversy of not starting, getting beat up in Seattle. I think this is a good spot for him. The line scares the crap out of me, to be honest. They don't block well, and they're really banged up. But I do like this matchup for Cam. I like the Cam Olsen stack with Ted Ginn, if you really want to be cute. Chargers defense is not very good. You know, very suspect at best. Chargers-wise, Phillip Rivers, I'm using him with confidence. Melvin Gordon, love that guy. What a beast he's been. Another solid week last week. Using him with 100% confidence. Outstanding season so far. Tyrell Williams, another touchdown. You know, he's had a breakout season. Love him. Tight end wise, nobody I love more than the other. If I had a pick, I'd still pick Gates over Henry, but not with 100% confidence.
Yeah, you like Olsen to get back on track this week, huh?
I love Olsen this week. He's my number one tight end play.
What is it about the matchup you like so much?
What was that?
What is it about the matchup you like so much with Olsen?
I mean, I saw what Cameron Brate did last week against the Chargers. I actually watched that whole game, you know, being heavily invested in it. Cameron Brate was, you know, the best receiver they had, and that included Mike Evans. I mean, and without Luke Kuechly, if he doesn't play this week, they just have Thomas Davis. The rest of that team is very, very suspect. Kirk Coleman being out at safety probably will miss this week too. I think it's a great, you know, great bounce back game for Greg Olsen. I really think they'll be throwing the ball a ton with all those defensive injuries I just mentioned. So I just love him in this matchup.
All right. You heard it here first. I like that. Cincinnati Bengals at Cleveland Browns.
I mean, both these teams stink. Let's just get that out of there right away. The Browns, RG3 if he starts. Terrell Pryor has been a fantasy giant this year. Outstanding player. I mean, has done everything right. Is going to get a big payday in the offseason, hopefully not with the Browns. You're not starting any Browns with confidence outside of Pryor. Corey Coleman, rookie. You don't know much about him with RG3 coming back probably. They might depend on Isaiah Crowell. Is Duke Johnson still play? I mean, they don't use him at all, which is shocking. Gary Barnes has had a down season. from a Bengals perspective, Andy Dalton sliced up the Eagles last week, pretty much embarrassed that secondary. Don't get excited, though, because I don't think it's going to continue. I think the Browns win this game outright. Really do like them this week to finally get their first win, whoever starts a quarterback. Jeremy Hill, he's all they got right now, so he's pretty much an automatic starter. He's going to get plenty of touches. You know, Tyler Boyd and Brandon LaFell have both emerged. Tyler Eifert's a guy you got to use, too.
Yeah, I do like Hill in this matchup. Rex Burkhead, if you're desperate?
No.
Chicago Bears at Detroit Lions.
Lions defense might be my favorite play of the week. Matt Barkley, he's played good football lately. In his two games he started, you know, not, you know, made too many mistakes, but the Lions are, they're out for everything. Home game, you know, they're going to do everything possible to make Matt Barkley beat them and you know, give their corners. I mean, they're getting great pass rushers, stopping the run. You know, they're doing everything right on the defensive side of the ball. So Jordan Howard, you got to use him. Outside of that, Cameron Meredith might be the only guy I would consider from a Bears perspective. Lions, you're using Stafford. He's been great. Nothing short of that. Golden Tate, you're using. Eric Ebron has been suspect at best. I still think you got to use him in this matchup. Theo Riddick's a guy I like in this matchup. Anquan Boldin, Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, if he's back. Anquan Boldin didn't really do much last week. They like to spread the ball around. So I wouldn't use any of them with confidence. I think this game could be a 37-7 type of blowout. Love the Lions defense. Number one defense this week, in my opinion.
I will back you up on Eric Ebron. I don't know why. He's been struggling, but still feel like he's a viable tight end option.
He's not getting a target. He's not getting the looks that I expect him to get. He's a talented player. He's not getting...
Especially with Marvin Jones being out last week, you would have thought he'd had a little more. And that's following his big goose egg performance, of course. But, again, I don't know why. I still got some hope there. New York Jets at 49ers. San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, Colin Kaepernick should be in a bounce-back spot here. I like him here. Not crazy about him, but, you know, you could do worse against a Jets team that, like we said, Monday Night Football might be one of the worst embarrassing deals that I've seen so far. So we'll see, you know, if I can depend on him, you know, the rest of the season, but I do like him here. Carlos Hyde's a must start. Outside of that, if you want to get cute, Vance McDonald might be a cute sleeper pick this week on Daily Fantasy, you know, in DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever you use. Might be a cheap option there. I wouldn't get crazy with it, though. Jets-wise, Robbie Anderson might be a $3,000 punt in certain spots for me because Brandon Marshall, he can't be playing hard the rest of the season. What's he playing for? I mean, he's going to be out there doing what? You know, Quincy Enunwa, he had one target against, you know, the Colts where they threw the whole game. So if you're looking for a cheap guy on Daily Fantasy this week and you want to get all the studs in there, you could do worse than Robbie Anderson. This is a great matchup to be throwing the ball because both teams stink. So you could see a high-scoring, ugly game, but Robbie Anderson, I'm telling you, I'm not using him in a season long just because he's too inconsistent, but he's a 100% guy that I will use in a lot of spots, especially when I want to spend on the big guys this week in DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. 12 targets. Told you I'd get back with it. 12 targets last week for Robbie Anderson.
I thought there were a lot more. I swear I watched that game, and it looked like it was in the 20s.
I was like, oh, man, did I miss something? No doubt. I like that value play there. New Orleans Saints at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Saints-Bucks, number one game of the week. Fantasy-wise, Jameis Winston using him, Doug Martin using him, Mike Evans using him, Cameron Brate using him. Drew Brees, I expect a great bounce-back game here. Love this matchup. Most people might avoid him this week. Michael Thomas in another bounce-back spot. I'm not using Brandon Cooks. You can have him. I mean, if he breaks out, fine. I can live with myself. Season-long, you got to use him because he's a, you know, his potential to put up a you know, 30-point game is there. So ceiling guys, you always got to use. And Daly, he's just too inconsistent for me. Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower, like them both in this matchup, would use them both.
Yeah, you lean towards Ingram, I would suspect, correct or no?
Yeah, definitely.
I do love this call, though. What a good fantasy game to exploit. Let's see. Atlanta Falcons at L.A. Rams.
Falcons, Rams. I mean, the Rams defense stinks. Let's just face the facts. You know, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, you know, in the game they were okay against the Chiefs. I expect in the game like them both. Devonta Freeman, solid matchup here. Taylor Gabriel using him with confidence in this game. From a Rams perspective, Kenny Britt, I really do like in this matchup. I think he could be a really big breakout guy this week. You know, could put up 20 fantasy points. If you have him, I'd start him with confidence. I like him in a lot of matchups, even with Jared Goff. I mean, Falcons are going to put up points. We all know that. So the Rams are going to be doing what? Throwing the football. So Kenny Britt is one of my guys this week that I really like a lot.
Yeah, good call. Glad to have you finally on Team Britt here a little later in the year, but it's nice. Seattle Seahawks at Green Bay Packers.
Another game that, you know, most people will avoid just because Seattle defense, Green Bay, you know, they haven't been crazy lately. Matchup I like. I think Aaron Rodgers, we've seen lately, is throwing the football. So you got Aaron Rodgers. Devonta Adams put up a clunker last week, which is really surprising, but it was snowing, so he didn't expect much. Jordy Nelson looks to be back, you know, getting back in the swing of things in Green Bay, down for the stretch run. So if you're a team that drafted him and you got him now, he could be a guy that could win you a lot of money because Aaron Rodgers is forcing him the ball. So I like him in this matchup. Randall Cobb, like, don't love. Their running backs, not crazy about. Seattle, Thomas Rawls, we mentioned. Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin. And I do like Tyler Lockett in this matchup too.
Yeah, great call. I love all that calls on this game. I forgot to go back to maybe to the L.A. Rams there. Is there anybody else besides Kenny Britt considering there? I mean, you're starting Gurley.
I say no. I mean, Todd Gurley, I mean, if you're a team with Todd Gurley and you're still playing, I want to meet you because I don't see many of them. Todd Gurley has been a disaster this year from team-related and him-related. He's just not running the ball football good right now.
Kendricks, I suppose Austin's worried. I don't know. He's out, right?
I mean, not. I mean, Tavon Austin, if you really want to get, like, super cute. But, no.
Let's see. Sunday night, Cowboys at New York Giants.
Another game that I do like a lot. I like Eli Manning and Beckham in this spot. Coming off, I always like targeting guys who let down the week before. I really think this could be a great matchup. Giants. This is their playoffs tonight. They got to win. This game means so much to the Giants. It means nothing to Dallas, really. I mean, they have to win, you know, to stay, you know, winning your 11-game win streak, and it all means. But this game means everything to the New York Giants. I expect them to come out and be throwing the ball a lot. Beckham Shepard, I like in this game. Rashad Jennings, I don't love. I mean, I'll never love the guy. He just doesn't do enough for me. Eli Manning. I'm going to bank a lot of teams on Eli Manning this week. It could be a disaster, but I think it could really, really work out for me. From a Dallas perspective, Elliott, Prescott, you know, obviously you're using Dez Bryant. Cole Beasley is sneaky in this game. Jason Witten always does well against the Giants, but I don't love him in this matchup. Again, Eli Manning and Beckham might be my favorite tandem outside of Winston and Evans this week.
Yeah, wow. Interesting to see your love there. You know, what is it? Just because so much is on the line and they're coming off of a shoddy performance? Is that what you love?
I love down matches. I mean, Eli Manning, I wrote today on a couple blogs how terrible he's been and you know, how he stinks right now. But I really, really like this matchup for some reason. I could be totally wrong, but I will bank a lot of teams on Eli and Beckham this week. I just think Odell Beckham, big lights, division game, corners who stink. I mean, I think this is a matchup where he could put up that monster game, and obviously Eli will benefit from that.
Yeah, kind of surprising to me, but interesting. You know, like you said, it could be an interesting call there. On the opposite side, on the Cowboys side, you said Witten. You know, Jason Witten, you know, has some good history against the Giants. Of course, puts up that goose egg. You playing Witten if you're, I guess, somewhat desperate?
Yeah, I mean, if he's your top option, he does well against the Giants, so he's definitely a guy that, you know, I would look at.
All right, moving on to Monday night. That's the Baltimore Ravens at, New England Patriots.
Brady, Blunt, Mitchell, Edelman, use them all with confidence. I mean, I see bright games, and you know, for them here, Tom Brady's still going to throw the ball a ton. The Ravens have been, you know, getting, you know, good rush on the passer with Suggs and, you know, Doomerville, but I expect this to be an easy Patriots win. Flacco, I love in this matchup, especially because they could be behind. The running back position, I like Dixon over West. I wish they would just give him the ball. I think Dixon's just a better player. Steve Smith, I really like in this matchup too. Another guy who's a favorite of mine this week. I think, you know, Monday Night Football, big lights. He's going to come to play. Mike Wallace, like, don't love. Dennis Pitta will be overdrafted, overplayed, and I don't love him in this matchup.
What about Chris Hogan?
I mean, I'm not starting with confidence. I mean, I like Mitchell better.
Yeah, agreed. You know, on this side, on the Baltimore side, I totally agree with you with Kenneth Dixon. Looks like the better ball player. Hopefully this is the week where, you know, they turn the corner and start to give him the ball a little bit more. Could have some receptions in this game. You know, Dennis Pitta, you may be right, but I think you got to give him a shot in a game where they should be forced to pass the ball. You know, don't love Pitta moving forward, but I think in this game I'd call him a start. Hey, man, great show. I think we still got a minute or two left here. Again, please get on over to scoutfantasy.com and subscribe now. Our premium content's only $12 for a month. Tons of great winners over there who do win not only at season long, but also at daily formats. Dave, speaking of daily formats, do you have any other wisdom for this week as far as matchups you're looking for or players or connections you're looking for? Obviously, you've already mentioned Manning, ODB.
Manning and Beckham, I mean, I really like that matchup. I mean, Mike Evans, we talked about. Kirk Cousins, I like Jameson Crowder this week. If you really, really want to get cute, I mean, I'm not using Brandon Cooks with confidence, but he's worth the gamble. Terrell Pryor, you know, if you really want to be outside the box. There's a lot of chalk plays I like this week. Obviously, Mike Evans, you know, is number one player against the Saints defense. I expect him to get the ball a lot. There's so many good chalk matchups that just remember the name Robbie Anderson.
All right, I like that. Robbie Anderson, baby, could be riding to the bank this weekend. I think we'll go ahead and leave it right there, guys. You know, great show. Thank you so much again, those listening live, those downloading later, wherever you may be. Get on over to scoutfantasy.com right now. Join us if you haven't already. Again, it's only $12 for the month, and you get 3 free months with that promo code BFD16 at checkout. Again, that's BFD16. Best of luck. Hopefully you qualify in the fantasy playoffs. Hopefully you'll advance this week. Best of luck. Check back with us next week. Welcome to my house. When it comes, then you know that you want.